Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joined this morning by Jonathan Feldstein. He's the founder of Genesis 123 organization. Jonathan, good morning. How are you?
Howard, good morning from my brand new computer, and mazal tov on your new granddaughter.
Thank you very much. And we actually can hear you on your new computer because the sound quality is beautiful.
Wow, so it was worth the investment.
Yep, I don't know what you invested, but on our side, on our side, we're happy with that. Jonathan, what is the latest from Israel, and what are you hearing from your friends in the Christian community in the United States about the last week? Because it's been a very, very interesting one in terms of the U.S. and Israel relations.
Well, indeed, it's been interesting. First of all, just yesterday, I was again along the Gaza border, this time for the first time at Kibbutz Nir Oz, which had per capita the largest number of homes destroyed, people either killed or kidnapped. And today, in just over 2 hours, will be two funerals of two of the hostages' bodies, for two of the hostages whose bodies were found and repatriated. And I had this very sad, sobering moment to stand in front of the Bibas family home and even take pictures of the toys that the kids were playing with the day before. It's horrible. But as far as hearing from Christian friends, not just in the U.S., but all over the world, it's been indeed challenging. I think pretty much unilaterally, though there are certain things, there are things to criticize over Netanyahu's speech in Congress. People thought it was a great speech and well done. And the reception, of course, was very positive. There's tremendous outcry from certain sources that Kamala Harris was not, as vice president and the one who presides over the Senate, chose to speak at a sorority convention rather than attend the prime minister's speech in Congress. And of course, the horrific protests that are no longer pro-Palestinian, they are overtly anti-Israel and anti-American, that are taking place in the Capitol and still all over the United States. And it's very sad, but it's nice and it's refreshing to hear largely wide support from Christian friends in the U.S. and all over the world.
I see Candace Owen working very, very hard to try and create a narrative that Israel somehow would be behind the demonstrations outside. It's very disappointing coming from her. Oh, Jonathan, are you there?
There we go.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
I'm here.
There we
can
go.
You hear me?
I was asking you about Candace Owen. I don't know if you've been following that at all.
Indeed, and I was dismayed to hear that she was going to be speaking at some Republican gathering, and others have also correctly called her out as the anti-Semite that she is, along, by the way, with Tucker Carlson, who spoke at the Republican National Convention. And it's important and it's refreshing, you have to be honest about it, that there are anti-Semites on the right and anti-Semites on the left, and neither of them are acceptable. And Democrats can't criticize the Republicans unless the Democrats clean house, and the Republicans can't criticize the Democrats unless the Democrats clean house. But my sense is that in most cases, certainly on the Republican side, people are not aware of the anti-Semitic statements. But Candace Owens, good, thank God, she should be purged.
Yeah.
Anyone who presents those kind of anti-Semitic comments is not a viable player on either side, no matter how intelligent one may intend to be.
Yeah, I'm not sure that really is the case, that in terms of intelligence, but I used to think so, but now I just find that her bias leads her narrative, and that's deeply problematic. In terms of the hostage deal, there's obviously an incredible amount of pressure, interestingly, coming on Israel, not necessarily on Hamas, but what is the latest here?
The latest that I'm reading is what you're reading, is that we're very close. We're closer to a deal. You saw hostage families come out of meetings at the White House yesterday saying that they feel more hopeful than they have since November, December, when the last hostage release took place. You correct that the pressure is on Israel. And the one thing, look, I don't know if we're close or not to a deal. I know that Israelis want the remaining 115 hostages and or their bodies back. I don't see that happening very quickly, if at all. I'm just a pessimist on this. And I think that there was I don't remember who, but one of the pundits in America that I heard watching following Netanyahu's remarks is that honestly, there could have been a hostage deal much earlier if President Biden had called Qatar and said, "You're housing Hamas. We do not accept that. The 100 and however many hostages were alive at that point need to be returned by the end of the week, or we are going to do X, Y, and Z." And that could have happened, and that hasn't happened. And frankly, that it hasn't happened also says a lot about the Biden administration's rhetoric. So I really don't find it to be tremendously impressive for both President Biden and Vice President Harris to say that Israel must sign a deal when I think they have the most of the cards in the deck that they could have played and haven't.
Mm. Just going back for a minute to Netanyahu's address, it was very, very, it seems very well applauded, and the response was very, very positive. I didn't love it, to be honest. I found it a bit tired. I didn't. Maybe it wasn't addressed to me, and maybe I wasn't the audience. But I found it. It was almost a collection of tweets that I had seen. It's sort of these zangy one-liners, which was very nice, but didn't leave me moved. I didn't particularly like how the hostages and the soldiers were used to prop up his speech. I felt it was a bit it was a bit contrived. But I recognize that he said the things that needed to be said, and I'm very happy with that. But did I respond well to it? No, I didn't particularly like it. What did you think?
So for two Jewish men who haven't yet met each other, we agree on a lot, and I tend to generally agree with what you're saying. I think it was a lot of one-liners, a lot of out of context. I did a radio interview with a station in the U.S. yesterday, and his line about being useful idiots to Iran for the people out protesting was a great line, but most people, not just the protesters, I would even argue most people in Congress don't understand the Soviet metaphor. Mm. And therefore, it was a great one-liner that if you understood, okay, great, you understand. But if you don't, then it's just one of those one-liners. And I am not sure there was a lot of content. I happen to like what he said about a solution for Gaza because it goes indirectly into my solution for Gaza, which I wrote about again this week. And what I particularly didn't like, Howard, I didn't mind him using the soldiers and the hostages. And I think he did that actually very, very well, because that's what happens in American congressional speeches. They always have people in the gallery who are the puppets. And so on American context, he did that well. What I really didn't like is that he didn't say to Noah Argamani, We all here today express our condolences on the death of your mother. If he had said that, it would have been just slightly that much more human, and it needed to be said.
Yeah, see, I even found that the way that Sarah Netanyahu was rubbing her back.
She shouldn't even be there. Send her home. Yeah, send her to a hospital and shake hands.
Just to be really rude, it looked like she was the pump. You know, here she is, and then rubbing her back and pushing her forward. It actually quite revolted me. But maybe that was the part that turned it a bit more negative for me, because it just felt really theatrical and insincere, to be honest. So
the correct feeling in the American context, not so bad. But again, I look at the speech. It was masterful. He's a great orator. He's a great leader. It was a well-written speech. But my feeling is like, okay, so what? He gave a lot of one-liners and had an unprecedented number of ovations, and that's very nice. But tachlis, substantial,
none. Okay.
It didn't change much.
No, it does. It didn't. But again, maybe the audience, which was the American audience, would have seen it differently. And it seems as though they did. Jonathan Feldstein, that is where we need to leave it. Jonathan is the founder of Genesis 123 organization, talking to us about the latest news from Israel as well as the United States.